Welcome to Ex Libris, the premier podcast where the latest scientific discoveries are discussed in the context of their apologetic significance to the Christian faith. This program is brought to you by the monthly partners of Reasons to Believe. For more information, please visit reasons.org/monthly partners.
We hope you all had a very Merry Christmas. We're working with a reduced crew this week at Reasons to Believe. And so you're listening to Phyllis Moore with Dr. Hugh Ross, astronomer and president of Reasons to Believe. Hugh, we just found out that scientists say radio signals from deep space could be aliens. They're telling us that there may be proof E.T. really is phoning home. What do you say, Hugh?
Well, this was announced today by the New York Post, got picked up by Yahoo News, and it's starting to spread across the internet. It's not actually the first time that people have speculated that this fast radio burst source might be signals from extraterrestrial intelligent aliens, but it's the first time it's caught the public attention. And I think the reason why it got all this attention is a recent paper got published in the Astrophysical Journal, the December 20th issue, so just days ago.
Okay.
And basically announcing that they have seen fast radio bursts from the only source where they get repeated bursts, and they saw it with two different radio telescopes separated by 2,500 kilometers. So it's the first time they actually saw it on two different radio telescopes at the same time. It's the Greenbank 300-foot telescope in West Virginia and the 1,000-foot radio telescope in Puerto Rico, Arecibo, Puerto Rico. And okay, why that's big news, it shows that it's not some signal from Earth or one of our satellites, because that was some initial speculation that these very strange fast radio bursts might actually be interference from human instruments. But the fact that it was seen by these two telescopes means that it has to be outside of our solar system. Matter of fact, by looking at the delay, you know, maybe I need to tell people what fast radio bursts are. That might be helpful.
That would really help me even. Thanks.
Well, they were seen for the first time in 2001, and they call them fast because they only last a few milliseconds. And within a few milliseconds, this fast radio burst pours out the equivalent energy that the sun would pour out in an entire month. So it's an extremely energetic signal being burst out in just a few milliseconds. That's why we're able to see them, okay, in spite of their brevity. But the fact that they're so brief, just a few milliseconds, tells us it must come from a tiny source. It can't be coming from a whole galaxy or even a star like the sun. At most, it's coming from an object that's like 50 kilometers across. And we do know of objects that are tiny. Magnetars and pulsars are like, you know, 10 kilometers across. So it might be, and that's kind of the leading candidate for what really explains these. But what's new is that in the Astrophysical Journal here, they actually followed this up with a number of other observatories. Matter of fact, this is a project that's being organized by one of our volunteer scholars, Chuck Horse. He's an astronomer at San Diego State University, and he's the one that kind of coordinates, you know, when a fast radio burst is ignited, getting observatories at all different wavelengths observing it. This is the first paper I've seen which actually publishes results from that kind of organized effort. And so they tried to find this burst at X-ray wavelengths and different radio wavelengths, and basically they and then they used another radio telescope that wasn't as sensitive as these two telescopes were talking about, and they weren't able to see it. So they have yet to identify the galaxy in which this source exists. But by measuring what's interesting about these fast radio bursts is that it's a broad spectrum of radio frequencies. You get high frequencies and low frequencies. Mm-hmm. But the high frequencies arrive at the telescope a little bit earlier than the lower frequencies. And the reason for that, if it's coming from a single source, as it travels through interstellar space or intergalactic space, mm-hmm, you're going to get a dispersion. And so you would actually get the higher frequency signals arriving ahead of the lower frequency signals. And the time separation is such that it persuades astronomers this has to be coming from outside of our galaxy. So it's not in our galaxy. It's outside of our galaxy, a tiny source, and I'm thinking it might be a pulsar or a magnetar in a galaxy roughly a billion or 3 billion light years away. But when I say roughly, that's plus or minus a billion. So we really don't have a good measure of its distance yet.
Plus or minus, okay.
And what it says in the paper is, in order to get an accurate distance and accurately identify the source, we're going to actually need to be able to image the galaxy from which this burst has come. That's why Chuck Horse is trying to organize all these different observatories at different wavelengths, observing this thing at the time of the burst or soon after the burst, so they can actually detect the galaxy from which it's coming. We don't have that yet. That's one of Chuck's goals, is to make that a reality. And I think by late 2017, we got a good chance of having that nailed down. Now, as to why some people, I only know of three that are suggesting that it might be ET phoning home.
Okay.
What they're speculating is that it's not coming from outside of our galaxy, that it's coming from inside our galaxy, and that you got intelligent aliens that are purposely setting out a high-frequency radio burst ahead of a low-frequency burst. So they're actually purposely timing the difference, which would make me think, well, these extraterrestrial aliens, if they're out there, are trying to fool us into thinking this is from outside our galaxy.
Of course.
Why would they do that? But the other reason why some people are speculating this, this got published in New Scientist in 2015, is they looked at the burst data they had at that time and they thought they were seeing a repeated number, the number being 187.5, which as a radio astronomer makes me suspicious.
Uh-huh.
This is not a small number like 3 or 4. This is 187.5.
That's quite a large number.
This sounds very coincidental to me. It's just, you know, just coming out of the statistics of a small database. But that's the reason why some people are speculating that it might be ET calling home. But if you read the paper in the Astrophysical Journal, there's not a word in there about the possibility this is ET. They're convinced that this has a natural explanation. And they mention, for example, that a pulsar in our own galaxy, the Crab pulsar, actually has a pattern of radio bursts that looks very similar to what they're seeing, which is why they're thinking this is probably a young pulsar. That's
okay.
A very likely explanation. They said it's either a young pulsar or a young magnetar. And, if we find a few more of these fast radio, this is the only source they have found where the radio bursts repeat. So you're looking with a database of one. When you got a database of one, you got a lot of room for speculation, which I think is why people are saying ET's calling home. But again, the astronomers are actually doing the work. None of them are saying that. The people that are speculating this are basically database analysts. They're not astronomers. And so they were kind of going through the data, the fast radio bursts. I think we're seeing a pattern. I see this number popping out. But keep in mind, there's only a couple of handfuls of radio bursts that have been seen since 2001. So very small database. And you've got a small database, don't trust the statistics coming out of the database.
We need a little more things to study. Is that what you're telling us?
Yes, but I'm also excited as an astronomer because there's a lot of effort by my peers in trying to figure out what these fast radio burst sources are. And I'm very confident that within a year or two, we're going to know what's going on here. But I also like what I saw in the Astrophysical Journal. They make a really strong case that looks like we're seeing a young, powerful pulsar in a distant galaxy. And it'd be fun to figure out which galaxy it is.
That would be fun. So, Hugh, tell me, are you writing something about this? Will Reasons to Believe be publishing something soon?
Well, Chuck Horse is working on some articles on fast radio bursts, but since this has got the public attention, this afternoon and tomorrow morning, I'm going to get a blog article out on this. I'll tell people what fast radio bursts are and basically explain where the speculation comes from and how astronomers are responding to it. But it looks like all the evidence is telling us we're the only intelligent civilization that exists in the universe. And that's a humbling thing to think about.
That
we are the most intelligent creatures out there.
Very humbling.
As one astronomer said, if we're not, that's humbling. If we are, it's also humbling.
It also says that God has a sense of humor.
Right.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, what I'm also going to be putting in this article, if God wanted one intelligent species to exist in the universe, the entire universe must be exactly the way it is. We need the entire universe to be the way it is just to get one. And God only needs one to achieve his reason for creating the universe, which means to be a tool for redemption. So I kind of lean towards the perspective that we're it, although I do believe there is extraterrestrial intelligent life. The Bible calls them angels. They're not subject to the physics of the universe. We are subject to the physics of the universe.
Wonderful. Well, thanks for your comments, Hugh, and thank you for your ongoing support that allows us to bring you up to speed on the latest scientific discoveries and their apologetic value. This is Phyllis Moore for Dr. Hugh Ross. We look forward to seeing you again, and until next time, follow us on Twitter and at Facebook, RTB Official.
We'd like to thank our monthly partners for making this broadcast possible. If you're not a monthly partner or would like information about becoming one, please go to reasons.org/monthly partners. Also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter, where you can join the conversation about the latest scientific discoveries, headlines, and their apologetic value.